Ramsey TV.
The question is, do we have to forgive other people? I forgive you for even asking that question. I forgive you. But have I forgiven everybody in my life? Ooh, I'm going to make a confession for you here today. But first of all, allow me to introduce myself. If this is your first time on board, and there are new people watching this show all the time, this is Martin Zender. I'm an independent thinker, an independent researcher. I quit church a long time ago, maybe 30 years ago. I quit adding. I don't know. It's a long time ago. Because I found that the institutional religion couldn't contain God. It was a business. It existed for profit. It existed for power trips for the people in it. And they twisted the scriptures. It was just a red hot mess. I was in the Catholic religion, but every other religion is, every other Christian sect is really an offshoot of the mother harlot. I'm sorry if you're in the Catholic Church and I just called your organization the mother harlot. Well, no, I guess I'm really not sorry, because I meant to call it a whore. Yeah, the whore. The mother of all whores. Yeah, that's it. Something that's more, I don't know. It's got a better ring to it. To me, why would I call organized? I'm not getting off the topic. Why would I call organized religion? Why would I compare it to a prostitute? Because it prostitutes the truth. Jesus said it to the Pharisees of his day, the religious organization of his day, the Catholic Church of his day. What did he say? He said, you love the traditions of humans more than the truth of God. The traditions of humans. People love their traditions, and they love their power. They love their influence over other people. They like to have influence. And so they will twist scripture in order to find scripture. They twist scripture in order to support their errant instincts, namely that I'm independent of God. I like being independent of God. I decide where I spend eternity. They love that. They also don't want to die. I don't want to die. I'm an immortal soul. I will go on and on and on. You can't prove either of these things from scripture. Let's ignore that for a second. I like the idea that other people are going to be punished for eternity. That means that the fact that I'm not going to be punished for eternity, that means I did something noble, and that's why God likes me. All these things are attractive to a certain group of people who are self-oriented, and so they will twist scripture in order to come to these wrong conclusions. I knew that was happening after a while in the Catholic Church. Plus, it was pretty obvious. I'm sorry if anybody's still in the whore, the mother whore, but when you have to stand up and down and repeat prayers by rote, it should be obvious. It should be obvious to you. Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Christ have mercy, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. What is these manual prayers, these rote prayers? Jesus said, when you pray, don't babble like heathen. Just talk to God in a normal voice. Don't use King James English. You don't have to get on your knees. You don't have to get in your prayer closet. It smells like mothballs in there. That's not a good inspiration. Don't do it. So anyway, I got out of there. That's my story for those of you who are new. I wrote a book called How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. You need to get this book because it'll explain the whole thing to you, why church is unbiblical, unchristlike, and spiritually risky. That's right. You're risking your spiritual life in the organized religion, no matter what sect of Christianity you belong to. All right. So I was at the conference recently in Missouri. Oh, speaking of that, what I'm going to do is I thought about releasing the conference videos. There's 10 of them, each one approximately an hour long. Lots of viewing there, 10 hours, it's coming up. I thought of incorporating it into my show, like just making MZTV the conference videos. That would give me a, quote, break in that I wouldn't have to come up with a show and edit and publish the videos. But no, I don't want a break. And I want to talk to you. I have to keep talking to you. And from what I'm hearing, you want me to talk to you also. So I'm going to continue to do my show every morning. And then in the afternoons, starting this afternoon, I do believe I will be publishing the Missouri Conference videos one at a time. Okay, so It'll still be on the MZTV channel, but it will be the conference videos without an introduction from me. If I was going to make it part of MZTV, I would come here from the studio. This is Martin Sender. What you're about to see, ladies and gentlemen, what you're about to see occurred. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to talk to you about a scriptural topic like I'm doing today, this afternoon. If you're on my newsletter mailing list, watch your inbox. If you're subscribed to me on YouTube, you will be notified that the Mansfield, Missouri conference videos will be coming. So at the conference, a woman came to me privately and had a real issue because, I'm not going to reveal any details here, but many of you can say the same thing. She had a parent who was abusive. Let's just put it that way. Like very, very abusive. And of course, when something like that happens to you, and I feel terrible for anybody that happens to, but you tend to grow up with a bit of a chip on your shoulder. And all the psychiatrists, all the psychologists that you go to, they tell you, you have to find forgiveness in your heart. You can't move on. You can't move on with this monster of unforgiveness in your heart. This is the message of Christianity, and this is the message of modern psychology. It sounds good. I mean, forgiveness is great. I recommend it. But to tell somebody that this is a block, this is blocking your life with God, this is blocking your prayer life, this is blocking you being able to go on with your life. This individual at the conference was feeling so condemned for not being able to forgive her parent, not being able to forgive. She was honest. Thank God. It was beautiful. I can't do it. But she was feeling more guilt about that, about not being able to do it. The feelings that were being generated from her self-condemnation, or the condemnation brought on her by outside sources, not by God. Get to that. That was causing her, I would say, more grief than the actual memory of the thing. Yeah. It was causing her more grief to be condemning herself for not being able to forgive than the contemplation. Thank God it's a distant memory now, but the contemplation of the actual thing. This goes along with my talk, how to be at peace with not being at peace, or how to be content with discontent. How to not worry about being worried. You compound your problems when you condemn yourself for things you can't help. In her mind, it's humanly impossible to forgive her parent. I get it. And I said to her, I delivered her. I gave her peace. I said, I didn't deliver her. I just gave her information. I was the conduit from God. I said, let's start with a greater emotion, love. Love is a gift of God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Some people in this life, it's really hard to love. We can't love them. You can't work it up. You can try hard, take vitamin B. I don't know. What do you take for love? What do you take? Vitamin C? Is that good for love? B12? Maybe some coconut oil? Oregano oil under the tongue? 3 times a day? I don't know. But some people you can't love. Well, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a fruit of self-will. It's not a fruit of concentrated exercise or coconut oil. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So I told her, I said, you need to forgive yourself for not forgiving your parents. That was a revolutionary thought for her. Now, in Paul's gospel, I'm going to give you a personal. Maybe I should do that now. Okay. I'm going to give you the difference between forgiveness and justification. I should read Matthew because people get this idea. It's not an idea. It's an actual truth from Matthew. I'm in chapter 6 and I'm in verse 15. Jesus speaking. Yet if you should not be forgiving humans their offenses, neither will your Father be forgiving your offenses. Ooh, no wonder people think it's do or die in the forgiveness department. If you don't forgive other people, God won't forgive you. But that's not our gospel. That's not the gospel of grace. That's not the gospel of Paul, because Paul said we're justified. We're declared to be righteous by God. That's more than forgiven. Anytime you look at forgiven in the scriptures, it's contingent upon maintaining the forgiveness of others. Your forgiveness is conditional. You're on probation. And you need to keep proving yourself. Yeah, forgive people. I forgive people. It says it right there. I'll never forget Corrie ten Boom, the Dutch concentration camp survivor. Do you remember her? I used to listen back in the day to some tapes by her, and she said in one tape, she said she forgave her Nazi captors, the people who killed her parents. Now that's noble. I respect that. But she said, "What Jesus? I'll never forget this. What Jesus said? If we do not forgive others, neither will He forgive us. Jesus said it, so it must be true." Never forget that. Jesus said it, so it must be true. Yeah, it must be true. For freaking Israel, for the Jews, for the circumcision gospel.
But the Martin Zender, how can you say it's not true for you?
Well, because I'm in the body of Christ. I got the utmost respect for you, Corrie. I know she's dead. This is all, like, I'm pretending she's alive, you see. I'm not a necromancer here, okay? Paul says, I'm justified. I don't have to forgive anybody. I'm justified. I'm declared righteous by God. That's a cool thing because, again, justification, I got to define this to you quickly, is that God has declared you righteous. You're righteous. So if you're righteous, then forgiveness doesn't even come into the picture. Forgiveness assumes guilt. You can't be forgiven unless you're guilty of something, right? So Israel, under the law, this is the difference, under the law, see, we're justified apart from works of law. Israel, still under the law. That's the difference. We of the nations, under the body of Christ, Paul's teaching, we're not under law. So we don't have to worry about forgiveness. Honestly, I know it sounds like a radical thing. If you've never heard that, get my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. This is not a commercial, by the way. It sounds like it, but I'm promoting my books because there's valuable information in there. By the way, I gave away probably 100 books at the conference, Missouri. So, justification means you're righteous. There's no forgiveness possible for a righteous person. The judge doesn't pronounce someone not guilty. You're not guilty. Therefore, we're going to let you off the sentence. What do you mean, let me off the sentence? I'm not guilty. You following me? So, I remember when my youngest son had a son. Yeah, my kid had a kid a couple years ago. And I saw my ex-wife there, you know, and I'm sharing a personal story with you just because it applies to this scripture. And I'm telling you why I could tell this woman what I told her. My ex-wife said, "Do you forgive me for the divorce?" And my answer was instantaneous. I said, "No, I don't." I was probably a little shocked, like, "You're a man of God, you talking about..." Yeah, I'm also honest. I can't. I said, "I love you, and I'll always love you, because love is unconditional, you see. I'll always love you." This is what I told her. "I will love you, love you, love you." Love doesn't depend on behavior. Doesn't depend on the worthiness of the object of the love. In my case, her being the object of my love, I can't stop loving that girl. Can't stop. I love for her in my heart. Do I forgive you? Hell no. Hell no. Too many bad things happen because of it. I'm living in the relative here, folks. But here's the difference between me and the person at the conference that is now healed, is that I don't condemn myself. I don't refuse to forgive myself for not being able to forgive. It's a gift to be able to forgive. I wish I could work it up, but it is not holding me back. It's not holding up the Spirit of God. I don't have the power to stop God's acceptance of me and God's love of me and God's conciliation toward me, because none of these things, the conciliation and the love of God, was based on my behavior in the first place. If it didn't come because of my behavior, it can't leave because of my behavior. Not many people know that justification and the smile of God is that sure. Not many people know that. So since they think that their salvation and their acceptance is based on their behavior, then they condemn themselves for not being able to do all the right things. I should forgive this person. I should. I want to, but I can't. Okay. So you can't. So just say, "God, help me. I can't forgive this person. I'd like to," but let yourself off. when you forgive yourself for not being able to forgive, then that mental block you have against accepting, against being aware of God's smile on you continuously, that roadblock's gone. This isn't holding up my life. This isn't holding up my prayer life. I don't have that kind of power to stop what Christ accomplished for me on the cross. I don't have the power to ruin God's favor of me, seeing as how that favor is based on the crucifixion, the death, the entombment, and the resurrection of his son. Do I have the power to stop that? Who the hell do I think I am if I do? I don't. Forgive yourself for not being able to forgive. And as members of the body of Christ, revel in the fact of justification, that the smile of God is on you no matter what you do. And not until you realize that will you be able to go easier on yourself, to relax, and if anything will make you more conducive to forgiveness as you meditate upon it, that will.